maybe you could reach back in your memory with me, not too far back, but think about just this year when, sometime in February, I don't remember the exact date, we began the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday, of course. And we did the usual things that we do on Ash Wednesday. We went to Mass and got our ashes. And most of us, I think probably all of us, were pretty full of resolutions as to how we wanted to spend that special season in the church year, recognizing the call to penance and to penitence and to a deep sense of trying to prepare for the great mystery of the Lord's passion and resurrection. But if you're like me, after a relatively short period of time, certainly well short of the 40 days, the edge of Lent began to wear off, and not unaware that was still in the season of Lent, but some of the resolutions got a little fuzzy around the edges, and there were just so many things going on, and it kind of lost some of its power and its thrust. In short, what happened is that amidst our great devotions and our great commitment to celebrate this season and that season in a special way, life kept impinging itself. We still had work to do. We still had maybe classes to attend. We had families to raise. And not only activity, but we were still us. We still suffered our aches and pains. We had our anxieties. We couldn't escape the reality of our world. And you know, as a matter of fact, that isn't what we were supposed to do anyway. We weren't supposed to run away from the world and replace it with our Lenten observances, but rather, we were supposed to bring our Lenten observances to our real life, to the real situations which we face. Our responsibilities and our duties and our infirmities and everything else that make our lives what they are right now. Well, eventually, of course, Lent ended and we went into the holy days of the Triduum, which were really celebrated beautifully here at St. Rita's. And maybe with a renewed focus, we began to see that in spite of our efforts or lack of efforts or broken efforts, that the real importance wasn't about us anyway. It was about what God did in Jesus Christ. And so we came to Easter with a very legitimate and proper joy, a wonderful celebration, and we felt it. So I remember it. It was a nice day. As you can tell, I'm not too good at remembering things, but it was a nice day, and it felt like Easter, and the Easter vigil the night before was glorious, and we could wish each other happy Easter in a very sincere and important way. But you know, we're now into the Easter season. A season that lasts not the 40 days of Lent, but the 50 days. And if you're like me, and in many ways I really and sincerely hope you aren't, a lot of the luster of the Easter joy has kind of gotten lost. It lasted for a while, maybe as long as there were chocolate Easter eggs still in the house. I don't know what sustained it, but maybe also, to be a little bit more serious, through a renewal of our entry into the wonderful mystery of Easter through preaching and all the rest. But at some point, something happened. And it was the same thing that happened to us during Lent. Life continued. We still had to go to work. We still had families to raise. We still had people to be concerned about. We still had challenges, we still had ourselves. Whatever our challenges were, and just as we could not replace real life with the season of Lent, we can't put in its place Easter instead of our real lives. Life goes on. And in spite of that wonderful vision that is proclaimed by John in today's second reading of the book of Revelation, we just ain't there yet. Death continues. There's still pain. The new order has not yet come. That wonderful vision of Christ enthroned and everything cooperating with God's vision of reality just hasn't happened yet. So what difference does it make? What difference does it make except that we could flip pages on a calendar that we move from Lent to Easter? I think the answer to that is very simple. And I think it's crucial. The great gift that the earliest disciples and apostles of Jesus were given. Obviously, Jesus rose from the dead, but just think in terms of what it meant to them. The great gift they received was an absolute conviction that rather than now continuing through life alone, that Jesus Christ continued to be present to them and with them. That was the big difference. They were still going to die. They were still going to suffer. They were still going to get tired from walking around. They were still going to face opposition. They were still going to have joys. There were still things they had to do. None of that was different. Oh, sure, maybe they took on slightly different jobs. I don't mean that. But they didn't escape the world. They knew that that wasn't the final step, that there was something yet to happen, something yet to come. But the big difference is that with a conviction they did not have before, they knew that they were going to spend their lives now knowing of the abiding presence of Jesus Christ. And with that, therefore, came the gift of consolation. Not the gift of no troubles, no aches, no pains, but the gift of consolation, the gift of peace. It's a tough gift sometimes, but it's the gift that you and I are supposed to have as an Easter people. You know, Pope John Paul II was rather famous among those who repeated to large crowds that we are an Easter people. And I don't, by my next comments, mean in any way to contradict him. It's absolutely true. And as St. Paul reminds us, if we don't believe that, then we're the greatest fools in the whole world. But you know what? We don't experience Easter joy all the time. Our lives are much more like the lives of Jesus toward the end of his life and during the events of Holy Week. Those are where we live our lives. The deep sense of mortality and challenge and all that goes with it. I don't mean that to be depressing, but we don't live in a cloud. That Easter joy doesn't mean we're abstracted from our own humanity in its beauty, but also in its weakness. And it doesn't mean that we're abstracted, taken out of the challenges of our world, but we do not do it alone. The abiding presence of Jesus Christ, the gift of consolation, something that we look forward to celebrating in an even deeper way as we come forward toward the celebrations of Ascension and of Pentecost. Not alone, but together. And that very briefly brings me to today's gospel. It's a familiar one, and I kind of avoided the obvious thing of preaching about loving one another. I think we know that, right? I know we know that. But the only thing that makes that possible, the only thing that makes it possible to in any way model in our own lives, when Jesus calls us, as I have loved you, so you must love one another, is the fact that he is with us and walks by our side. The only thing that makes our decisions better than they would have been before his resurrection is that we don't make them alone. We make them with him. I used to be an English major. Prepositions are really important. We do things with him. He does things for us because he is there. As we continue in this Easter season, even as some of the surrounding emotions of it have passed on, let us never fail to be grateful for the gift of the Lord's abiding presence to us. And let us never fail to recognize that in that fact, and in that fact, is found the consolation that God wants all of us have, even in this world, in anticipation of a new heaven and a new earth yet to come.